Facts of Firth, Bank Holiday Monday. We're back as a team.
Team.
After some time apart, for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. Has absence made the heart grow fonder for you?
Absence made my tits
fart grow longer. Oh,
yeah.
Did it?
Yeah. Been eating a lot of carbohydrates. I'll tell you why, shall I, Ash?
Carboob hydrates, I call them.
Yeah, carbobulated. I stayed in a travel lodge from Thursday to Sunday.
The same travel lodge?
Yeah, Reading Services East. Did a gig in London Thursday, Oxfordshire/Buckinghamshire borders Friday, Bristol Saturday, London Sunday. So that was a good place to stay.
So after Bristol, you went back to Reading, did you?
Yeah. It's only like an hour and 10 minutes.
Could have seen you. Couldn't ask just up the road in Swindon.
You did. I did know this later. Yes, I didn't know this at the time.
I could have popped in. We could have taken a brass or two back to the old travel lodge.
We could have done that. I don't mind the travel lodge. And I'll tell you what, it's extremely cheap. I think for the 3 nights, it was like... I think it might have been 120 quid.
That's all right. For a very central location for fuel
back and forward. And I had to have my PA, full PA in the boot.
She was there as well, was she?
Yes, she was, mate. Take this down. What? You fucking trousers.
Nick
Knox. Slag. Yeah. I am... What?
I don't know. I've said take some brasses back to the travel lodge, and you've already said
you're getting all excited because you drew with Man City yesterday.
I'll tell you what, though, that is a good result. You've been saying I'll take that. I took that all day long. That's a good result, weren't you?
I mean, that's true. Yeah, I've said that, but
yeah. Well, Man City away 0-0. Take that all day long, bruv.
I need to tell you about a gig where it was perfectly acceptable gig. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, people just kept coming up. Well, and I will say the headliner took the roof off the place.
Right.
Regardless of what you think or where you position them in terms of their ability or whatever.
Do you mean me specifically?
Yeah, you.
Because you're saying that like I know who you're talking about, but I've forgotten. I don't know who you're talking about.
So whoever it was,
yeah,
they were doing, I would say, quite generic material, which is fine if that's what you like.
So you got, that's all you got.
The audience took the roof off the place. The roof was off.
Mm.
Like, forget about the roof. You need a new one. Roof's gone.
Mm. I take the roof off so often, I don't do cabaret, I do cabriolet.
Lovely. Really lovely, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was terrible. You know, like I try and do bad jokes. Sometimes you like it, and I'm like, oh. But okay, so you saw this headliner take the roof off the joint.
But then constantly after the show, both in the venue, whilst I was waiting to get paid, and even when I got back to the car park, people kept coming up and telling me how dreadful the acts were. It happened about 6 times.
What, but all acts or just that one that took the roof off?
All the other acts other than me. That's true.
I know that
sounds silly, but people are like,
I did 4 gigs this week and I emceed 3 of them.
Mm.
And taking, when you receive compliments as the MC, it must be heavily seasoned with a pinch of salt because I think they think you're not a comedian.
Yeah, totally unanswerable.
They're encouraging. They're encouraging.
Someone said to me, one of those people, as I got to a car was pulling out the car park and they pulled over and went, Ash! And I was like, who the bloody hell's that? And then it was just 2 women from the audience and they went, you should have been one of the main acts tonight.
And you saw it going,
I was.
Well, I think the MC and the headliner are the 2 main acts to me.
Yeah, totally
agree. I think.
I always want to go, I got paid more than them.
But fucking, you're a you-know-who all of a sudden.
But a bit of me is like, I did all right out of this, don't worry.
Do you know what I mean? You could be a comedian.
That's what they say, listener, sometimes. Or often, that is what's said.
A middle-aged Asian woman came up to me last night at the gig and she went, you've got beautiful eyes.
Well, I told you about the woman who basically... squared onto me after that gig, who was in lip distance of me, just telling me how good I was. But she was doing exactly that same thing. Just like,
squared onto you?
Yeah, like not squared up to me, but squared onto me.
I've never heard that expression.
Like she was going to kiss me, but she was mainly telling me how brilliant I was because she...
Maybe she just got sucked into the gravitational pull of your head.
Yeah, that's true. But I think she was like, you need to keep going because the others, they're comedians.
That?
But you keep going day you'll be an act.
One day you could be in the middle. It's like, I was in the middle 10 years ago. I'm now...
I've done that.
She goes to me, you've got beautiful eyes. And I went, no one's ever said that to me ever. And I
You've got dark, sunken in dead eyes.
I've got
like
dark, sunken in bloodshot dead eyes of a serial killer.
Yeah.
And I went, no one's ever said that to me. She went, oh, fuck off.
Go fuck yourself.
You can't like, you can't accuse me of fishing for compliments. When you've just come up to me and said this thing. And I've gone, have I? No one's ever said that. And she's
Oh, fuck off, you cunt.
You're angry with me.
Fuck off.
Like, don't mug me off. Yes, they have.
You fuck off, you prick. You fucking prick.
I've had other compliments, but never that particular one.
Oh, you've got a very small penis. Thank you very much.
I know. But that's the thing. In ancient Greece, the big old donga was a sign of being uncivilized. That's why the statues...
Yeah, that's what I would have spread as well.
Well, no, but they did the statues. Older geezers, the thing is...
They've all got big dicks, haven't they?
Now they've got little tiny winkies.
What?
But wasn't Michelangelo like a big power top gay fella?
I don't know, was he? I know he was a homosexual.
Yeah, but apparently he was like this big bearded, strong... But he's like, ooh, chiseled out.
I heard
tiny
that,
dinky.
I heard that he asked Donatello to shit on him.
Really? Who told you that? Is Puff Daddy dead?
Oh, is he dead?
No, I don't know. I just said that.
Oh, right. There's been a lot of news about him after you said he was a paedophile.
Oh, you have to. I'm right again. Oh, did you see the... Did you see?
Is it that he's a paedophile or is it that he's got
video of people? Gay, pedo, sex trafficking. Basically like Epstein. Apparently he lives in the most expensive district, I think it might be in Florida, wherever. And just exactly like Epstein's model, he had all of the... all his rooms were wired up with camps of covert filming and stuff. And then, did you see that I asked the listener about the conspiracy chat and the listener replied?
No, no.
Yeah, I said on here, I said, do people sick of the... And then in Discord, everyone was like, yeah, just don't ever talk about conspiracies ever again.
Okay, sorry.
No, me, not you.
Well, no, I'm part of this.
Yeah, but I think... This is going to be the last thing I say about conspiracies. I'm going to talk about a specific one.
That's fine. I've got a question about other types of conspiracy, though. So that's fine. We can do that. That's fine. We'll have a break.
I was going to say, it's just because you're all new. You don't like the fact that you've had the vaccine. You don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, of course it is. But, hey, what about that boat hitting that bridge?
Oh, I don't know anything about that. Is that a conspiracy as well about COVID?
Well, all I will say is...
It's not, is it?
Yeah, the captain had been... No, what it is the same person that maintained the...
Oh,
black...
it's not that bloke from the Everlast or the... Or, you know, that one that got stuck in the Panama Canal. It's not him again, is it?
The Everlast? What, fucking...
What was it called? You know, that boat that got stuck doing a three-point turn in the canal?
The bloody women's... That's the thing with those diversity hires, isn't it?
And do you remember that guy, the Spanish ferry that
Yeah,
sank?
He had like some brass with him, didn't he? Yeah, weren't he showing off?
Did he just jump off as well? They're like, no, you have to stay.
And watch this, I'm going to go really close to the... Oh, fuck it.
So, I don't know. I think maybe what I was going to ask you about conspiracies, but I don't mean conspiracies. I mean other conspiracies, the light-hearted ones. Mm. But I think what might be a good episode, and let's, I'll just say this on it, I want to talk to you about those... what are they called? You know, like the Loch Ness Monster, the...
Urban legends.
Mermaids. Because, like, mythology. Obviously mermaids... Yeah, I want to talk to you about them at some point, but that could be a Wednesday or a Friday.
All right. So anyway, this boat hit the bridge, and apparently the black box just stopped recording 2 minutes before it hit the bridge.
Oh.
Yeah. So
was he trying? Oh,
I don't know.
Terror attack or something.
Well, that's what happened with Epstein's, when he hung himself, all the cameras went off, didn't they?
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Mm. Anyway, I'm not going to just talk about them.
So. Oh, is there actually a conspiracy about this bridge hitting boat?
There's some odd stuff about it, yeah.
What bridge was it that hit?
I think it was in...
Wayne Bridge.
Nah, it's like Philadelphia or Baltimore, somewhere, I don't know, somewhere shit, one of those shitholes that you wouldn't go to anyway.
And was people hurt or...?
No, because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so hardly anyone's hurt, but the whole bridges fell down. Oh, it's like the 9/11 of bridges, basically. You got the P Diddy, which is the Epstein of hip hop. Now you got the 9/11 of the water. We're getting all these
hip hop P Diddy.
Well, yeah. Bad Boy for Life's a good tune, isn't it?
I don't really know what hip hop.
Bow bow, bow bow bow. What do you mean you don't know what hip hop is?
Hip hop, hippie hit to the hoppy to the hip hop, hop, you can't stop.
Start rocking to the bang bang boogie, set up, shop the boogie of the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Charlotte Ramsey knows every word to Rapper's Delight.
Oh, yeah, and, she does. And
the
John
theme
Barnes
tune
rap.
To Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And John Barnes' bit of the
You've
world
got
in
to
motion.
Hold and give, but do it at the right time. That was terrible. I remember when that came out, everyone was going, oh, Barnes, he can actually rap. And I'm going, are you fucking mental? Are you actually insane?
Is he Jamaican?
What?
Was John Barnes Jamaican?
Fucking English, mate. Played for England.
No. Was he born in Jamaica?
Born in Jamaica. Everyone, you know the Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight? By R.E.M.
In the jungle.
No, that's the Lion. That's the Lion by Tight Fit. They were models. They were the original Milli Vanilli. They didn't sing that. But
what?
Yeah, I know. Tight Fit.
Do you remember
when
Milli Vanilli were outed?
Yeah.
And then he went to the press conference and tried to sing to prove they could really sing. And it was dreadful.
He couldn't sing. There's a reason they did that.
Was it the same person that did them and Boney M?
I don't know, but...
I think it might have been.
I heard a rumour. Oh, I can't say it's a conspiracy. Not really. The Beatles, you know they keep bringing out these Beatles songs?
Yeah.
We found a new recorder that wasn't John Lennon. After he died, it was Jeff Lynne from ELO. Apparently he can sing just like John Lennon.
Yeah, there's a lot of John Lennon-ness to him, to be fair.
Right. But...
very Beatley ELO as well, actually.
I never got it. I think, like, when there's certain bands that I just really judge people hard if they like them. The Police. Like, people that like The Police, I just think that's really boring dad rock. I always have. Mm. Like, I love The Police. I love Sting. I'm like, oh, that's not even music to me. That's fucking awful. Awful. Because I suppose they come sort of like post...
Yeah, but ELO isn't the same.
No, they aren't, but they're close.
Coldplay. There's a guy I know who's like, he will spend £175 to go and see Coldplay at Wembley.
Yeah, but Coldplay are universally accepted as the gold standard of shit, aren't they?
No, but you say that, but they're also the most popular band in the world.
Yeah, but so Westlife sold more singles than the Beatles. That's ridiculous.
No, but I mean, like...
No, I know, but I don't... popularity.
Sell out to... People will be like... There'll be Charlotte Ramsey's.
No, you know, they've got... Like, no, remember the rock and roll twat with the pork pie hat we described? He would be like, oh, Coldplay will come out in hives, mate. Get it off. Oh, like, really, like, all right, mate. Oh, bloody hell.
But there are some people that I know...
Yeah, that's people you know, because you're a bit of a
They grip on to this type of thing like they're still... Because there is nothing worse than the person who tries to follow the latest trend constantly.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
But
yeah,
then
I always found John Peel
those
like
people
completely
who grip
embarrassing,
on.
Didn't you?
Say again?
I always found John Peel embarrassing.
Because he had a child bride.
John Peel?
John Peel, the paedophilic Radio 1 presenter.
Oh. Are you sure about that?
No.
John Dead Peel?
Though. John Peel?
Did he not have
a 14-year-old wife?
I don't know.
In a bar and I saw Pokal Harum.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the same person. But he
I think
like
his wife was like 14 years old.
Yeah. It's all right. So he I don't find children sexy.
No, I don't.
Just want to get that out.
Which
there.
Is lucky for me.
I know, because if I did, then what do you do? I mean, you've either got to like be in denial. You can't live your best life, can you?
No.
Or you do live your best life and then you end up living...
And the bloody world's all over you.
Yeah, everyone's crawling up my arse.
Just trying to live my best life.
Just trying to live my best. You do you, boo. I'll do me. No, but he was like his 60s going, oh, listening to this band from Bangladesh, like a Bangladeshi black metal band. You're like, yeah, you cannot like that. That's just you trying desperately hard. Do you know what I mean?
But I'm struggling myself to deal with the Coldplay thing, actually, because I can't put my finger on who these people are. But there's a thing about Coldplay that... And I don't have a problem with Coldplay. I don't care about Coldplay.
No, I don't think they're bad enough to care about. They're not.
No, but what I mean is the people... Do you know, they're just trying to... They're going to see the Orb at a festival in Shropshire as well.
Yeah, there's that thing. I think in America, the Deadheads who used to follow the Grateful Dead around, they've never been fashionable. They've never been hip. It becomes like a sort of cult of mediocrity almost, like... I don't care what everyone says. We like Coldplay, don't we?
But you know when Coldplay... There'll be a story that comes out and it was the Chris Martin and John Spencer from... I don't know who another member of Coldplay, but, you know, they started playing on a piano in King's Cross.
Mm.
And it'll just be them playing Sky Full of Stars. And it's the drummer and he's just tapping on top of the piano with two breadsticks. And it's like, oh my God, they're just like us. It's like, well, they're not.
Well, no, I think they're... Are they posh?
Oh, they're so... Who isn't posh, though?
Well, me.
People don't realise. I know, but that's why we're just here.
Yeah, it's people. The posh people are complete... Well, wealthy... Well educated.
Did you see that Phil Ellis thing the other day? The comedian Phil Ellis.
Yeah, I did his show on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But he did this whole thing that was really well said about privilege, like financial privilege.
I've said those sorts of things. We've all said those things for a long time.
But it was really interesting because he wasn't sort of being bitter or anything, but he was just saying, it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, you're from money, so you get every opportunity. He's just saying, he moved from Manchester to London and then basically had to accept every... Like, he couldn't afford to live there because it was like... he had to go out of London to get the gigs. He had to go and do a gig in Sheffield.
I can't afford to turn gigs down.
So, yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. So he's saying he moved to London, but then he's basically going, well, I can't gig in London all the time. I need to be gigging in Stoke.
So why live in London?
And then, but he's saying, but that is where every booker of everything and every agent is going to watch comedy. But that isn't an issue for you if your mum and dad pay your rent and you can go to the... You know,
same as Edinburgh. Look, it's the same. It's like a watered down Edinburgh. Instead of being a month long, London is 12 months. London is 12 months of the year, isn't it? And you don't make any money, but you can get seen by the right people if you can afford to do it.
Do you gig in London much? It's like, no, I don't, because there's about three gigs that pay properly.
One gig I should do all the time is a third less than it used to be like before COVID.
I know.
I said, I can't do it. And the bloke was like, oh, I'm annoyed. I'm like, it's a third less.
I can't. And now it costs me to get into London.
And now it costs more to get in. Exactly. So they've added the car's not EULA's exempt. EULA's and
plus you've got a park. Plus you've got to get the tube.
Yeah, and then
the money in London has gone down at some clubs. That
the
is
money's
something.
Gone down by a third, and the costs have gone up by about 10%.
But why? Because they're packed.
Well, I don't know.
It's not
know.
Just in central, like central London is now. I can't think of a single gig in central London that
I'm actually,
is.
Okay, I'll give you an example. I'm doing London this weekend.
Where are you going?
I'm doing a gig in Clapham. On the Friday, I'm Dublin. I'm doing Clapham.
You're
and
in
then,
Dublin?
Yeah, I'm doing Clapham, Comedy Cave.
Hopefully they will.
Yeah, clap this, you fucking minge. I'm going to do Clapham Comedy Club, and then I'm doing Comedy Carnival. And then staying down, and then Saturday I'm doing Leo's show on GB News.
GB News.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And GB News will pay more than those two gigs put together.
About the same. So it's, yeah. So the two gigs, one's well paid for London and one's way under my threshold.
But it's a double, so it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and...
But yeah, and it's weird because, like I say, there are a couple that do pay properly.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily in bigger rooms or anything. So you have to, so why am I getting paid properly for this?
People used to slag off Jonglers. They had Battersea, Croydon, Sway, Piccadilly. These are the four I've done. Camden. Yeah.
Camden.
That's 260, wasn't it?
260 show.
And Sway, you do like four shows in a weekend. And everyone's like, oh, Jonglers is shit. It's like, oh, I bet you'd have it back now.
Yeah.
Well, Jonglers is back now, but I mean that, you know, the Maria Kempinski, whatever she was called, her actual Jonglers.
Paying that money, you'd buy their hands off.
Yeah, well, it's all right when if you actually got it, wouldn't it? I mean...
London Driver needed £82.
Yeah.
What?
No. I know. So anyway, I did...
80 quid, 90 quid, 100 quid. No!
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know why. And you see the people that do it. And you're like, it's the thing. Like, I'll see, this is the thing what I don't see, if you sort of see what I mean here. You see a thing advertised, it'll be like, oh, small corporate, 400 quid. And everyone like, that is nowhere near enough money. It should have an extra zero on that. This is a race to the bottom. You shouldn't be doing gigs like this. This is not what it costs anyone. And then I see people like have got telly credits doing a 90 quid gig in London.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you don't need that £90. That, why you? So it's the same thing. I don't understand why they got
it
blind.
It's strange because there is no like you say a corp. Like it can be this is a corporate and it is 400 or 500 quid, but we also know that corporates can pay you £8,000.
More at least, yeah. Well, not at least, but
there
and
is
more
no,
and more.
It is the Wild West. Where
it
your
is,
job,
but everyone will dig out.
If
everyone,
you're a plasterer and you go, oh, I want to do your bathroom walls and ceiling, that's 600 quid. That's what I charge for that. But you can't, as a comedian, go, well, I'm opening for you, so that's 300 quid.
Yeah.
Like, it can be today, but tomorrow it's £100. Oh, and it's a Wednesday, so it's I'll do it for 90.
Mm.
And then, but Friday, it's going
to
be 200.
I understand why there's a sliding scale in the way, because Sunday to Thursday, it's harder to fill a room. So the promoter
yeah,
is
but
taking...
often they're still full.
No, often they
that's
are.
What you're
but...
getting at.
Yeah. No, I've got a minimum. I've got a Friday, Saturday minimum that's different to the rest of the week. But
yes,
you have
I
to
know.
Have.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, that's okay if you get to the place on Thursday and it's quiet. Like I did Central London on Tuesday or a Thursday, and it was, I don't know, say 120 quid. Let's say, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not going anywhere else for that on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
so
you
that's
live
fine.
Quite close to London as well.
And it's not, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But if I go to a place on a Tuesday and it's as busy as it normally would be on a Friday or a Saturday, why am I being punished?
Well,
it's the same job.
Well, the reason why my minimum's higher on a Friday or Saturday is because if I stick something in low, I will get offered more. Like, the chances are, if I stick something in for X, as the gig gets closer, I will probably get offered Y elsewhere.
So I was like, oh, to keep a Friday, Saturday free for you, so I actually don't like pulling gigs, so I don't pull it, that's not enough. I mean, I can pencil it in, but the chance of me doing it go down, that's pretty much how it goes, isn't it?
Well, I had I did Swindon last week because it was...
That's sort of shit, so, isn't it?
Well, I didn't... I wish I knew, unfortunately. But... and it was perfectly fine, let's say. The money was on the line, I would say, on the limit. But then it took me 4.5 hours to get there. And suddenly, that's me.
That shouldn't have taken that
long, should it? No. I think it's about 2 hours, 40 minutes.
Right, okay. But yeah, what can you do? I mean, you can't...
But then that's on me. I know that's not them. That's not Swindon's fault.
That's not the gig's fault. I mean, you've accepted the gig. And yes. Really, when you say how far is it, you think in terms of time, not distance. I do, anyway. Yeah. It's an hour away.
Yeah.
But if there's a traffic jam, it's 2 hours.
But there's that thing, isn't it? It's like, you go... Oh my God. Well, this has suddenly become more of a ball ache than I wanted it to be. I still got there on time.
Yeah.
And I still got home at the same time I was going to be.
It's stressful.
But suddenly I'm like, oh God. But also, yeah, so there's a funny, it's not funny at all, but on the way there, obviously I pulled into a lay-by to say that suddenly the time had instantly jumped from, I can't remember what time it said I was going to get there, but jumped up until... But I couldn't work out the start time. Because on their email, it said, please arrive for a 7:30 for an 8 p.m. start.
Mm.
And then when it shows you your times, it said, like, Ashfrith on stage 8:30.
Right.
So I messaged and was just like, it has just literally jumped up by an hour. He said I'm going to be there at 8:15. Is it an 8 p.m. start or is it 8:30? No response. So then I message again, can you just confirm that you've got this? It's saying like 8:13. I'll keep you posted on like how I'm doing, but please just let me know you've got this. No response. And then I message as I get, so I pull up at like about 13, I think it was bang on 13 minutes past. I message saying just outside parking, no response. I then get inside the venue and just say, I'm here. And then I got a text saying, oh, I'll send someone down to get you in. That was the first response. I was already in at that point. I was sitting backstage waiting. I was like, why have you not responded? And it started at 8:30. But the person just didn't respond to any message.
Yeah, it can be frustrating.
But yeah, I was like, well, okay. I've done everything I can do. I said I'm going to be late. But then I had all the stress. I'm never late for gigs. I don't think I've ever
like
been
late
for a gig.
I don't like being 1 minute late to meet someone if I was going for a coffee. I don't like being late for anything, never mind gigs. I hate it.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
I don't understand what it is with me, but I've always been like it. I really don't like dragging. I hate it. So, what was we up to in my little gig run? So anyway, I did London Thursday, then I did Oxfordshire Friday.
Oh, can we talk about Phil Ellis's gig?
Oh, yeah, so he put the bat sign out. He said, I'm doing a show, my touring show. My band can't make it. I want someone to come and help. And I've gigged with him a few times. I messaged him and said, I live in Norwich. I said, what do you need? He goes, well, I normally have a band or a drummer and a guitarist on stage with me. And I do songs. He goes, but they couldn't make it. So
on the day they couldn't make it?
I don't know. I didn't, he goes, but they're not here. He goes, I thought I could get someone to pretend to be like a surly DJ. So I went, yeah, I can do that. I said, what time do you want me there? And he goes, get here at 6:30, whatever, for 8 o'clock start, a run for it. I said, all right. He goes, oh, I'm just in the city centre now trying to find the disco ball. I said, I got one, mirror ball. he went, yeah, I'll bring it. So I took that. And anyway, he had like a laptop set up on stage. And I had to play like about 8. I had to stand there, sort of like looking at him. And when he made his jokes, it's very, what his show is he's doing stand up, not bad stand up, it's good stand up. But it's a very much like, oh, this is very ramshackle, a bit, not Johnny Vegas-y, but that kind of part of the charm is this is a bit like he's dressed up like a cat, which he doesn't reference. He goes into songs, like he'll start singing Fly Me to the Moon, but like a couple of bars of it. And it seems, you know, it's a bit of a bathos. It's like a very, it's a very clunky and unnecessary gear shift. And there is humour in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so anyway, I did, went and did that, and I had to play all these. And so I was making up, he said, like, he goes, the drama sometimes will sort of make faces. So he was doing stand-up comedy and, like, doing stuff about how it's not going well. So I had to sort of make faces. Well, I didn't have to, but I actually got quite into it.
You're acting, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I was doing a bit of a character, yeah.
And so you're in the back. Where are you positioned?
Stood next to him on stage with a laptop.
Stood next to him?
The whole time, yeah.
Did you have to play musical numbers? Were you doing the music?
Yeah, I had to play a couple of videos. I had to just like double click on the laptop, like, you know. And I had like a little sheet, and it would say like it would say material about being on a plane, and then it would have like a line, and then he'd just say that line, and I had to, you know. I only think I fucked up once. And
Stressful doing that. I did it for Tape Face a lot, didn't I?
And just doing it on the day, and he's never done it before. I mean, this wasn't even like I was replacing something. Normally it's a band.
Yeah.
So I said to him, look, if I get it wrong, we'll make that part of it. He's like, yeah, it's improvised. Like, I go, what are you fucking Northern? You know what I mean? Like, but it was funny. It was funny. I enjoyed it.
He's a good bloke.
It was just a really different thing to do. I just like went and it was in like a. It was interesting actually because I don't know that I've ever seen a comedian on tour. One of those arts centre-y shows. Do you know what I mean?
So he was in an Edinburgh award-winning show.
This was it
as an ensemble. Oh yeah.
I think he got nominated for this.
Yeah, but. The weird thing about it is, like, he has this following. This is, like, a thing, again, another thing maybe to talk about. He is a touring comedian that is selling, you know, Norwich there, and he'll do Southend, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people won't know who he is.
No, I think a lot of... The thing I've learned about Arts Centre is you get a lot of patrons that support the Arts Centre.
Yeah.
So they
I've done support for Arts Centre comedians and there will always be people there.
Yeah, she's having the balls to do it. Because I think no one's going to come and watch me. But you think, well, if 20 came just because they would come just because something's on, that's 20 people that might come back. Then if you go back next year, those 20 might come.
Don't charge a lot of money to put it on. Yeah. Most of the people are volunteers.
Yeah. Well, then the next year you come back, if that 20 all return... Plus you get another 15, 20 who would just come because something's
on. That's how you build.
Yeah, that's how you build. Might start doing that.
There is the risk that you do that and then you get stuck in Glasgow Airport or whatever.
Oh, gosh. Why? What's happened?
Oh, Cy Deaves. He was going to do his tour show in Edinburgh or Glasgow and got stuck in customs and had to cancel the gig.
Oh, no.
But people do just book the rooms and hope. But it's a strange thing because art centres are often funded, so they have to put stuff on.
Yeah.
People are volunteers.
Subsidised, but
then there's no one bothers to do anything. So when I've done some tour support before, it turns out that people have not bothered to promote the shows because it makes no odds whether anyone turns up or not. If no one's there... It doesn't matter.
They're charities, basically, aren't they?
They're charities, yeah. But they're governmental charities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Subsidised, yeah. Yeah,
and
I know.
So I did Sudbury with that Sudbury room that Jason now does a gig in.
That's lovely.
I did that on tour with Matt Ricardo and 17 people came, all of whom were the one, like you're saying, all of whom were...
They'd have gone there if anything was on. Whatever was on that night, they would have gone. Yeah.
And he's got a good... He had a good show. And it was,
is he still going?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know if he's not touring. I don't think, but he's still doing bits and pieces.
Right.
But, so he'd go... We'd go and do one show and there'd be 200 tickets sold. And then in this show, there's like 17 because there was literally nothing. That theatre is up a dirt track at the back of Sudbury. And if there's no one promoting it, no one's going to know it's there. Unless you walk up the dirt track to the lovely venue.
I did that for Jason. It's really nice.
It's a lovely gig, but that's because it's advertised and promoted and regular.
Maybe I'll start. Maybe I'll put a show together and maybe I'll do a tour this show. The thing is, I'm just like sweary. And
I have the same thing. I think I go and have good gigs. pretty much every gig I have, it goes pretty well. And I think, oh, people would like it. But then, it's the same thing as Edinburgh. I go up there and go, oh, no one's going to like this.
Yeah, I can imagine if I was, like, Phil Ed's doing his stand-up, I was watching it. And he did a bit where he said about... He did a bit and it was a little bit... It was either sex content and he's going, oh, I know, this is a little bit grim. And I could tell he had to hold on to them. Like, he had to sort of, I know. It was nothing compared to what I'd find funny. So I don't want to do stuff I don't find funny. I mean, I'm not, it's very difficult. I'm not.
But if it's not your audience, you have to.
Yeah, I just want to go, why can't you go on tour and be filthy? What's wrong with that?
Well, you can't. Like, I saw Andrew Lawrence is gigging in Southend soon. And it's his show's called I Forgive You. And his show will sell out because people are going to see specifically him, his humour, everything, you know, that they want to see. But if he was doing this Arts Centre tour...
Yeah,
and
this
hadn't had the publicity,
thing's a different beast to what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, can you imagine Andrew Lawrence turning up?
Well, can you imagine someone like, you know... Well, me! I mean, I swear and I talk about sex all the time.
Mm. And then I do me act.
Yeah, I like the idea of Arts Centre tour. But then, you know, we put on a show in Southend and 20 people showed up. Yeah. Some of which thought we were Jordan Gray.
Did they?
Apparently, because she was on the following night.
Right.
It's like, when's Jordan Gray on? What?
Yeah. I could get my knob out, like she did. If that would...
Yeah.
And then, so I'm back in Norwich now, and I need it. It's Easter Monday, isn't it? Oh my God, I've had a mare. I've buried the big story. Have I forgotten this? Nurgis was closed.
Oh, what, the coffee shop?
No, the kebab place.
Oh, so you didn't get to watch a big game yesterday?
Today, I went down there on Monday. I went down there, and it's shut. They said we're shut on Easter, and for Ramadan, until the 10th of April... We're not going to open until 4 p.m.
Why?
I don't know why. Why? It's not dark at 4 p.m. So it can't be that they're not allowed to prepare food.
Oh, yeah.
They can't eat it. Maybe they'd just be tired. I don't know why.
Are they allowed to prepare it in advance? Is that a silly question?
I think you're allowed to serve and prepare food. I just can't eat. I don't understand. I don't know a lot about it. I mean, listen. There's a definite... line in the sand with me, like when religion tells you what you can and can't eat and when. Like, you know, like Jewish people can't eat pork and neither can Muslim. And then, you know, you got as fast. I'm like, fuck off. You can't, fuck that. Like, I don't like that. Or any religion where you're like, you can't eat this. I'm like, what? I don't like it. Imagine, like some of them, like, is it Sikhs don't eat, they're all vegetarian or something, Hindus. Who are vegetarian? One of them's vegetarian. In Indian religion, they're vegetarian.
I don't know.
I think there's a vegetarian religion, isn't there? Now, if you were going to have a religion with a dietary requirement, that one sort of makes more sense, that it's a compassionate thing. But this fasting, I don't understand. I mean, I've probably been so ignorant. Well, I am ignorant. But I hope I'm not being offensive. But there's probably like a...
No, well, that's all right. I think you're allowed to say why...
No, there probably is a thing. Like, I know, like, we're in.
Is it like Jesus fasted for.
Yeah, it's saying, like, oh, there's probably something like. Or someone, there was a famine or someone got starved. So, in solidarity or something, they. I don't know. Because I know there's things like that with. There is a Jewish fucking holiday, not.
Hanukkah, you're probably thinking of.
No, there's Passover, Hanukkah. And there's the one where it's about someone had to sleep in a tent or something and they make a hut in the garden. It's like the lesser known one. Purim. I think it's Purim. And it's something to do with someone had to sleep in a... you know what I mean? It's like someone in their book had to sleep in like was homeless, so then they will go and sleep in the... Something like that. They have a little... The proper from ones that observe it make a little... makeshift stick hut in the garden. I don't know what it is, something like that. I might probably made that up. But it is like, there's always like, oh, so-and-so did this back then, so we'll do it now. And I think, I suppose we've got it, well, very topical, I guess, what the egg is meant, which I don't understand how the egg symbolises rebirth.
No.
It's just one birth.
Yeah. I didn't realise that the egg symbolised rebirth.
Well, I don't think the, this is the thing. I don't think the eggs is actually. Well, that's just something we do. I don't think there's any. But no, Easter's when you come back to life, isn't it?
Yeah. Like.
So when he got, hang on a minute. So when he got crucified,
it was fine. He came back.
Oh, he did.
How did he go again? How did he die again? Did he
die
twice?
That's exactly it. Is he come back and then dead again? I don't even know my own fucking religion. Never mind. I'm here worried that I'm not educated about Ramana.
Did he just ascend the last time?
No, they nailed him to a cross, mate.
No, because he came back from that. He was all right after that.
Well, I mean, obviously, you'd have to. I'd have to discipline the Roman soldiers. I would think that they're fucked up. Like, you had one job. You got to nail this Jewish fella to a fucking...
Hold on. I don't know my religion, but he died for our sins for how many days? And then he come back?
Did he come back? I think this coming back was for something else. And then they proper finished him off. Because the spear of destiny went in his side when he was on the cross.
But then he come back.
I don't know anything.
Did he get shot? Wasn't he shot in New York by a fan?
Yeah.
That was John
Mark
Lennon.
Chapman with a copy of Catcher in the Rye in his back pocket by J.D. Salinger.
Catched him in the rye. Caught him in the ribs.
Yeah. No, so he got crucified and then they put him in a cave.
John Lennon?
Yeah, big box. He said, well, in the Ballad of John and Yoko, he came under much controversy. Because in the early days, he said, we're more popular than Jesus, just as he was about to tour America. And they sort of started burning Beatles records. And then when he was in the, he got mapped, and then he did the Ballad of John and Yoko with a line in the way things are going, they're going to crucify me.
Yeah, he did.
And everyone was like, oh, you've done that again. He's like, no, that's a comment on that. That's about that, isn't it? Like, if you get in trouble for comparing yourself to Jesus, of course you would make the thing that you have been crucified for it.
Yeah.
But nailing people to a cross, that wasn't just a him thing. That was what they did to everyone.
Yeah.
So it's weird that became...
Wasn't it a tree as well? Does it not... I'm not even sure it mentions a cross.
No, I was under the impression that he had to carry it, didn't he? Didn't he have to... They made a big, heavy cross and you had to... That's what the cross to bear.
I think it says it was a... Yeah, I know, but I don't think they actually crucified people on crosses at all. I think it was mainly they were pinned up on a post.
Yeah. But he had the crown of thorns, didn't he?
But maybe our listeners will know.
Oh, everyone
did knows. Jesus come back after being crucified? Text in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And if so, doesn't that diminish his...
magic trick.
Imagine it's like... Oh my David God, Blaine, Justin's just gone out there and taken a bullet for the whole team. I can't believe it. Justin's just gone out to the police and admitted to all of it. He said he's done it all. Oh my God, what a hero. Oh, we'll never forget Justin for what he did. And then a week later, you stroll back in and we go, you're right. And you go,
up? And then so anyway, the egg, I don't understand. I don't understand why it's a rebirth. Like, wouldn't it be better to have like a yo-yo or something for rebirth? Like something what comes, or boomerang.
I think so.
Yeah, not an egg. You should have chocolate boomerangs, we should have. Because they come back. Not eggs.
I need to tell you, there's been a few snob or scums that I addressed in my solo pod last week.
Right.
That I don't know if you've been a part of.
No, nothing, mate.
So, sorry, listener, to go back through these, but I did them last week. But I thought I did say on there that I'd talk to you about them, if that's all right.
Right, so we'll
go back. All right, mate. To put clothes in a machine for them to be washed.
Oh, right, got this. Yeah, well, I do say I'm a scum, but I do say laundry, so I know that's an anomaly.
Yeah,
and very American, I think. And it's like,
you come from an American family.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So laundry would be snob.
Mm.
Scum would be
washing. Hey, what do you put in the washing machine in the drawer?
I put... Oh.
Yeah.
I probably just say liquid. But yeah. I think my wife says detergent.
I think Snob would say detergent. I, even though it's liquid, I still say washing powder. Even though I haven't used washing powder for 15 years, I'll say, oh, we're getting low on washing powder. I still call it washing powder. I know it's not powder. I haven't used powder for
my
ages.
My wife is a snob, though, isn't she? You know her.
Cool. Yeah.
Saying where someone lives. Snob. I like. So just to give you, just to make sure you're aware, like, you would be saying Ash.
Address?
And sort of
lives.
Right. Okay. Lives is
Scarman. Resides is Snob.
Yeah. There you go. These are all from Jack, by the way. And like I said, I did these last week, but it's good to get your feedback on them. When someone's got no clothes on, they are
sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are nude.
Oh.
I would say nude is Snob and naked is Scum.
Well, naked
Starkers.
Is Scum.
Starkers.
Yeah, that's Scum. Snob, in the buff or nude, I would say also.
Yeah. Well, I only said that for Snob because of nude drawing. You say, oh, it's a nude. A nude is a type of painting, isn't it? You know, like for the naked body. Isn't it weird there's a whole thing of branch of art nudes? Oh, I like nudes. It's like, that's, why is it not porn?
I think it is.
Hmm.
Keep going with the Snob or Scum, sis. Now, I know we've not addressed them, and I did say those cards that Yanis did were good. I think we should revisit Snob or Scum. I think it's a really good feature that we've let fall by the wayside, as with everything else we ever do.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
A fizzy drink.
Champagne. Snob.
No, sorry. I mean...
No, I know.
What is it, is what Jack's getting at here.
I'd say Scum would say pop.
See, this is what I thought it was going to be, actually. But this isn't what he means. Describe the fizzy drink, I think, more likely.
Sparkling?
Yeah.
Or fizzy?
Yeah, well done.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say it would be more, I'd say, the carbonated. But then again, I guess I'm getting, well, that's more like science, scientific or, you know what I mean? But I think, like, a carbonated beverage. That's, I can imagine a snob saying...
I didn't know, like, I think we must have had this before, but you know, like, orange that you would dilute with water?
Yeah.
I would call that squash.
Yeah.
But a posh person would call it...
Cordial.
Cordial, my
friend. Do you know my girlfriend's from the north?
Oh, do they call it cordial?
No, they call it juice. It does my head in. Do you not know Northerners called it juice?
Do you want orange juice? Oh, yes, please.
No, they'll say, like, where's my juice? And they pick up this bright purple... Do you know what I mean? Like fucking blackcurrant shit. Like a little drop of juice. A little bit of juice.
Where do you stand on Ribena? Very sugary and thick.
Like you. No, I don't like any cordials. I don't like any of them. I can't see the point. I told you, they've only ever drank three drinks.
Stupid.
No, it's not. When I have a drink, I want it to taste like my own mouth.
I realised, because you love the taste of your own mouth. Ooh. You're a very passionate kisser.
I have to kiss myself.
I realise you eat vegan chocolate.
I eat, it is vegan, yeah. But I eat vegan things. There's nothing wrong with a vegan thing, like a piece of broccoli. But I don't know if I like, well, not like, you know, like the things that aren't made of food that are meant to be like meat, like seed oils and soya proteins and stuff to the fillers. I just think that is as bad as it's junk food.
Soya proteins make me instantly need to go for a shit as soon as I eat them.
Well, can we talk about my anus for a little bit?
Yes, please.
So I've had some anal problems being in the Travelodge. Two.
Anal problems, a wonderful Christmas time, Easter time. Anal problems, a wonderful Easter time. Justin's anus has been going wrong. He had to sit down for so long. Blip, plop, blip, plop.
No, not bowel issues. Ain't the actual lips. So on the wall in the shower, they had a dispenser of shower gel.
All right, yeah.
in the Travelodge, and I think it was Swarfiga. So on the, I got there the Thursday night.
Oh, they have a lot of workmen there.
Man, I've slapped a load of that up all around everywhere.
Oh, with the sort of grit in it.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like that, but it was like that. It was like too strong. Oh. It was an industrial.
You don't want that getting around your old helmet.
Well, I've got it. Yeah, I did that, mate. That's not. But it, I was going to this gig and I sort of like start squirming and driving. I've got the itchiest arsehole from this fucking.
Swarfiga.
Yeah, from this like toxic. Fucking chemical that was in the. In
is
the
it eating away at the?
It just dried very... it all out. It was very. It was just.
You had a cracked anus.
No, not cracked. It was just very itchy and felt like not nice. And then, so then after that, and then, well, I hope this isn't too graphic. The next day,
it's not too graphic. Come on.
Oh right, so right, Travelodge, Reading Services East. All right, I'm camped there. First, listen to this. I'm looking around the room. That Travelodge is Travelodge, right? I, on the side of the toilet roll, you know, where you can see the edge of all the rolls, you know, like the rings
oh my
of a tree.
God, this is awful.
Yeah, three shit fingerprints.
No, mate.
I went, oh, look. I said, this. They ain't changed to my girlfriend. I said, they ain't changed. Look, there's shit on. I took it off and chucked that in the bin. Right?
Was that in the hotel?
Yeah, first day in there. So that was. That was
no
that was just,
way.
Yeah, yeah, three shit fingerprints on the side of the toilet roll. So, and then I had the shower. And I've goofed all this.
You said this was all right. You went, oh, the hotel was all right.
That's all right.
It's not all right.
I used to live in my
That's
car.
That's like get your money back complaint, that is.
I used to live in my car. It had a mirror and a bed and sheets and everything. Curtains. What about when I stayed in a hotel in London and had one curtain that needed...
Right, when you stayed in a hotel in London and a woman walked past you with a hand-shaped slap mark
yeah,
and a bum
blood.
Cheek at
yeah.
reception.
I think someone had pulled a load of blood out of her minky. And she had a black eye. I mean, that's DV, as people say. SA and DV, all in one.
Don't know what
it's getting... Why we started... Like, fucking, we're getting like it's getting a bit like you got to keep up with all these acronyms, isn't it?
I don't know what any of that means.
Sexual assault and domestic violence.
Oh yeah.
Like you know that and this doesn't work. Can we just say, if it's to not trigger someone, saying SA, I don't
well,
understand.
No, it's worse because I've just said, what does that mean?
Well, yeah, but even if you knew, you if you know what it means, you know what it means. So if I say you're yeah. a effing C, Ash, I think you're an effing C. Why? How was that any better? It means you're a fucking cunt, doesn't it? I mean, what does it matter?
Yeah. I know, I totally agree. It's about intention, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like, oh, trigger warning. There is mention of SA in this episode. And someone goes, oh, they're talking about that, oh, when I got raped, it's going to remind me when I got raped. You've just thought of it.
I agree.
So I chucked that. So then the next day I'd used the facilities and I wiped my ass and the toilet roll in there all basically my arsehole was. I don't know if it's because of the. I don't know if it was because of the dryness from the shower gel or it was just cheap toilet paper. It's like my arsehole basically acted like a cheese grater. Like, I just... The toilet paper...
just chewed it up.
Yeah. Like, if I'd have farted, mate, it would have been like a confetti cannon. It was just like bits of... So that made me all itchy. So I had the next day, I was on a... Because I went into the services. Because you can go... Honestly, I don't know what it is. I actually quite liked it. Because I went downstairs and you walk down a corridor and you come out of a door at the end of the corridor into the services. Right next to a Costa and a KFC and all that. And I was like, oh, this is cool as fuck. I feel like, I thought I'd like, I don't know, I liked it. And I went down there and I bought a bar of Dove soap because their shower gel was like, well, two reasons I didn't buy the shower gel from the WH Smiths at the services. It was that mint tea tree stuff, which also irritates my anus.
Oh, yes.
And it was like £3.90. But the bar of Dove soap was £1 or £1.50. And I haven't used one of those for ages. That's a bit like using washing powder in your machine. Whereas I haven't used a bar of soap for so long. I sort of like forgot that you have to how to use it almost.
Wash off the pubes afterwards.
Well, you just sort of like, you rub it around in your hands. And then I was like, oh, do I rub my body with the bar of soap?
No.
Or so you lather up your hands and then hand yourself about.
Yeah. Get a bit handsy.
Yeah. So I did that.
Yeah, well done.
And I thought, oh, that's not, that did cure the problem. But that shower gel that they have in the dispenser on the wall in Travelodge is, I don't know what it actually is.
I think they're workmen staying in that particular Travelodge. I think that's what you've discovered there, is that the most people that are staying there are working. No one's staying there on holiday.
The weird thing is around that Thames Valley, and maybe it's everywhere, is the weekdays were more expensive than the weekend.
It's workmen. It's workmen paying to stay there during the week.
But it was fine. I ate a lot of KFCs. I did eat a lot of KFCs. I think I had a KFC every day.
Double the price.
But you just get the 3 or 4 mini fillets rather than the boneless because it's cheaper. It's £8.50 for 4 boneless bits, and I think they're £1.70 each. So if you buy them separately... little hack for you there, but you don't get the free supercharger dip, but you know, I'm not so bothered about that. And had a lot of Costa coffees, which I spent a lot of money there out and about, but had lovely gigs. So
you've come away from a weekend of gigs at a loss.
Yeah. No, I definitely didn't do that. But Nurgis was shut today, is the only thing. So I went to Spoons and I had wings. I've gone off Spoons, mate. I think they've gone downhill. I think the food's got worse.
No, you've got sober.
No, I think it's Nurgis, actually, because Nurgis is so cheap. I mean, there's 5 of us in Spoons and it came to £48, and that seemed expensive, and it isn't, is it?
No, not really.
No, but... Nurgis would have been about 10 or less than that. Nurgis is
I'm in Crawley on Friday, if anyone's around that area.
Bit creepy.
I'm in Birmingham. Creepy Crawley. And on Saturday, I'm in Birmingham.
So Friday, I'm in Clapham, then Bar Rumba. Oh, I don't think it's in Bar Rumba anymore. Comedy Carnival in the centre of London.
Comedy Carnival!
Comedy Carnival! And then I'm doing GB News on Saturday. You can watch me live on GB News, guys, at like 8 p.m, I think.
I can't. I'll be...
No, you can't. I'm not talking to you. And I was saying to my boys today, I said, don't you think they were talking about stuff? I said, don't you think it's...
So your dad's on telly now?
No, I just said, don't you think it's funny that I go on the news and I don't even watch the news?
Yeah.
But I go on...
What'd they say about that?
They went, yeah. What do you do? I said, I don't know. They go, do you sort of read up on the stories? I go, no. I just try and think of something funny.
Have they watched you on the telly?
No.
No, it's weird, isn't it? They don't give a fuck, these kids.
No, because, you know, but if I was Aidan Ross, they'd be all up my arse, mate.
Is he the one that does Coast?
No, Aidan Ross is like he's a Twitch streamer that's just been paid, like the you know, like they paid Rogan loads of money to go to Spotify. There's a new streaming service that's like Twitch, and they've paid him like $100 million to go there or something.
Oh, is that the guy with the big hair?
He's like the one that's real gormless, and he did a lot of Andrew Tate, didn't he? He used to be like, oh, Top G. And I used to be like, you bum men. Wait, what? No, I don't. It was like ridiculous. It was like bullying and grooming all in one. I don't know.
The Bullying and Grooming Podcast with Pranks and Firth.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I hope you enjoyed your Easter special. We did it extra late so you can listen to it while you go to bed.
I'm extremely tired and coming down with something, so apologies if I'm off my game.
I'm coming up with something. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, it's been difficult. It's a difficult recording time for both of us. But we're still trying to knock stuff out, listener. So bear with us. Speak to you on Wednesday.
I love you.
Thank you.
No, not you. I'm talking to one person in particular. You know who you are.
I love poo.
No. Who told you that? Two little edits and I'll put it out. Send it.